Good morning, everyone. If you could stand and worship with us.
can remain standing as we take our offering this morning for Joshua House. Joshua House provides residential drug and alcohol recovery homes for men in the Fraser Valley. And they had their annual Drive Out Addiction Golf Tourney on Friday. And want to pass on a huge thank you to you, all of you from this church that went out to support. So you can give your offering to the collection boxes here at the front of the stage or online or on your phone through one of those methods. While we sing this next song, I'm just going to pray for the offering quickly. Father, you have blessed this ministry of Joshua House. You have just made so many amazing things happen through them, through their dedication to helping one another and tackling addiction. And I just pray over this offering that these funds would continue to support this ministry, and that as they move through implementing whatever changes are on their hearts and coming up next, that you would just continue to guide this ministry and provide for them through the funds that they need. Amen. So while we take our offering, we're going to sing another song. It's a new song. Like, that shouldn't surprise you by now during the offering. This song I first heard while trying to escape lockdown. We were driving on a forestry road out by Harrison, just trying to get out and, find some sense of freedom at a time when I, for one, was really anxious. And this song, well, it's pretty simple in its words and its message. It just really was what I needed to hear, and it has kind of been on my heart since then. Yeah, so enjoy, I guess. Sing along if you can get the hang of it.
Jesus. Wonderful. Wow. Jesus is Lord over everything. Everything. He's the Lord, the authority, the boss over your life, my life, our life. He's the authority over this church. This morning we get to celebrate God's faithful provision of leadership in this church. He has supplied us and provided for us with in the person of Sean Young, our newest pastor. And Sean's going to be serving in the role of pastor for our small groups ministry, life groups, as well as pastor over young adults ministry. And so we're so eager to commission him this morning into that work. We celebrate God's gift of leadership, and God appoints that leadership through the calling of through Jesus Christ upon Sean's life, and equipping him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about the kind of authority that that we operate under. When he said in Matthew chapter 20, he said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So I'd like to invite Sean to the front here on stage. There he is. Appears out of the darkness, out of the smoke. All right. Wonderful. So Sean has previously served as a ordained Christian Reformed pastor at the Tapestry Church in Richmond. And God has blessed Sean with the gifts that we have discerned will assist us and enrich ministry here at New Life Church. And so we're eager to welcome Sean, as well as his wife Ashley, and their son Kairos. And so, yeah, come on up. Wonderful. Thank you. There they are. Welcome them. Woo! Sean, to show that you promise to fulfill this position that you've been called to, you're requested in God's presence and before this church to answer these questions. Hopefully in the affirmative. Believing that God has called you to this position, will you carry out your ministry with integrity, honesty, and faithfulness? And will you honor God in all things and always commit to God's best for each and every person in this congregation? And will you honor God's word in all that you do and promise to live in mutual accountability with the body and with the leadership of the church? That's me. I'm your boss. So just to make sure. And will you shepherd God's people with the heart of Christ, willingly and obediently? What's your answer?
I will, God
helping. All right, excellent. Congregation, you have a commitment as well, just as you've heard Sean make his commitment. You have a commitment to uphold his leadership. And so, responding with, "We do, God helping us," will you support Sean as he develops the life groups and as he provides discipleship for young adults? Do you promise to pray for Sean, to share with him in the work of ministry, to encourage him in the tasks of ministry, and to respond to his work with love and respect? And lastly, will you protect and pray for his family? What's your answer? Yeah, there you go. How about one? Yeah, that was kind of sloppy, wasn't it? Yeah, sorry about that. How about one last? We do.
We do.
There you go. All right. Sean, here's your charge. We're rejoicing with you today. May you experience all kinds of joy, happiness in fulfilling your calling. And as you exercise the authority of this position entrusted to you, may you remain a humble servant. As called to this congregation, you're charged with loving Christ, feeding his sheep as you provide care and leadership in various areas of ministry here at New Life Church. So be faithful in prayer. Be diligent in the management of the ministries over which you will lead. Be compassionate in your words. Be compassionate with your example as you provide care and nurture. Be faithful in providing guidance and encouragement and challenge as you help to shepherd God's people. And use all your talents to the utmost of your ability. Don't neglect any of your gifts. We're going to pray over you. I want to invite Life Group elders. Sean's parents are here too. I want to invite them up. And any of the board of elders. And just surround Sean and Ashley and Kairos. And we'll pray for them. Why don't you just step forward here. Come on up. And any of the other staff members. Beautiful, wonderful. And the rest of us, let's extend a hand of blessing upon Sean and Ashley and Kairos. Let's pray together. Almighty God, first of all, thank you for your church. Thank you that day by day, year by year, century after century, you sustain your church. You bless it. You guard it. You guide it. Thank you, God. Thank you that by your grace, we are able to celebrate good news and proclaim your salvation. And so, God, may we be faithful in proclaiming that salvation. May we be faithful in inviting others to enter into the body of Christ and to be free to live our life to the fullest as Jesus promises. Thank you today, God, that you provide ministers to lead your church. Thank you for Sean. Bless him, God, as a pastor here at New Life Church. Bless him as a servant of Christ. Bless him as he serves in the church. Help him to be an inspired ambassador for the King of Kings, Lord, the Lord over everything. Bless him. Bless him as he shepherds young adults and as he organizes life groups and leads the life group elders in caring for one another. And God, may Sean prove himself a faithful steward in the household of God. And then, God, we pray that you'll enable all of us as a congregation to listen gladly and attentively to Sean. God, we pray that we will recognize his leadership as the voice of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us together in the work of ministry, so that we may be salt of the earth and light in this world. We ask all of this with thankful hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Bless you. And you may be seated. Hi, Nathan here. I want to tell you about the block party coming up September 18th from noon till 2:30 in the afternoon. And we're partnering together with New Life Korean, with Zion Christian Reformed Church, with Cascade Community Church, together with New Life Church here. And we're just going to host a spectacular community event. Looking forward to seeing you.
Hey, it's Ian from Cascade. It's going to be a wonderful event with food and community activities and games for all ages, spanning all four congregations on Dallaire Road. So we invite you to come on out and bring a friend.
Hey, 各位，我要跟你们讲一个非常非常棒的社区活动。我们有四个教会 ,New Life Church, New Life Church 韩国教会 ,Cascade 教会 ,Zion 的教会。我们在9月18号中午12点到2点半的时间，我们要举办一个 Block Party。在这个 Block Party 的里面呢，我们有各式各样的活动，有各式各样的食物，能够邀请你的朋友和你来参加这个特别的活动。这个活动适合各个年龄层来参加，所以诚挚的邀请你们来参加 Block Party。 OK，
오는일요일9월18일12시부터2시반까지딜리어로드에서블록파티가열리게됩니다캐스케이드교회중국시온교회뉴라이프교회와저희뉴라이프한인교회가연합해서열리는지역행사입니다세계교회건물과그리고주차장에서모든연령대가즐길수있는게임과이벤트가준비되어있습니다가족들이모두함께오시고또친구들도초청하면더욱더의미있고재미있는시간들이될것입니다
Let's rock this block!
I'm just wondering how many takes it took for them to catch the block. None of them looked super athletic, did they? Never mind. Well, hey, welcome here to New Life this morning. We're glad that you're here. And my name is Bruce Gritter, and I'm doing some service hosting this morning. And obviously, we want you to come to the block party and set a little goal for yourself, and that is, invite 3 people, all right? I mean, sometimes we think, well, you know, do I have to canvass the neighborhood door to door? Invite 3 people. If everybody here invited 3 people to the block party, it'd be a raving success, okay? So make that your little sort of tiny goal this week, and looking forward to it next week. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Say, if you're new here, and oftentimes the beginning of September, people kind of sort of start checking out churches, and they're sort of thinking about, you know, what am I going to do this fall in terms of church? We want you to fill out one of these Connect cards, okay? They're at every one of your seats, and we want you to bring them to the information booth, okay? You bring them to the information booth, we've sweetened the pot this year, okay? Look at this, gift bag, all right? And I just thought I'd grab one from over at the service table there and see what's inside. So, aha, look at this. Coffee. A whole thing of coffee, because we're coffee addicts here and we want to indoctrinate you into the world of coffee addiction as soon as possible. Okay, so we're going to give you some coffee. And of course, it would be silly not to also give you one of these cups to put the coffee in, right? Beautiful little cup, New Life Church on it. So when you have your little Java in the morning, you can be reminded of how great this community is. And then, of course, a pen. I mean, we all like a pen, right? We all lose them from time to time, so it's good to have a pen. And then this one kind of surprised me a little bit. This is a cashier's check for $1 million. So I thought, man, the integration ministry is really taking its job seriously this year. So I think, you know, since I'm kind of new to this church myself, I thought I'd... Anyway, pick up your gift bag after church, and we want to welcome you and make sure that you feel like you're a part of this congregation. A few other things to make you aware of, and that is Women's Connection is starting up this Tuesday, I think September 13th. 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Child care is provided. Sam, who was up here singing this morning, says we could use a few extra volunteers to help with the kids. But women, and it says here, of any age, and you don't have to reveal your age. So when you come, you can be completely anonymous on that front. And they are going to be looking at 1 Corinthians, right now media ministry. So come out for that. Story hour for the kids. It's a great thing to do on Tuesday mornings. Sermon discussion guide is starting up today again. Over the summer, we sort of give a break to that, but it's starting up, so make sure when you're starting to meet with your small group or maybe just in your individual devotions, you can pull up that sermon discussion. You can get it off the New Life Encourager. If you're not getting the Encourager at this point, go to the website. It's really easy to sign up, and that way you can just not just hear the sermon on Sunday morning, but you can try to reflect on it during the week as well. Now, we're going to get to fellowship time in just a minute, but we want to remind you that kids 0 to 5 can go downstairs at this point, and there's a ministry time for them downstairs. The older kids, you know, 6 and up, there's some interesting activities for them to grab here at the front. And, of course, next week, block parties, so things kind of get going as far as children's ministry is concerned next week. So let's bring the kids to the ministry, and let's take 3 minutes at this point just to greet each other, to fill up your coffee cup, and get ready for the message.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like this. Worship Your holy name. Bless You,
Oh, sorry about that. I got carried away. Usually I have to quiet you down and everything. So, but welcome again to New Life. So glad you're here. Say, it's September and so on. So, beginning of a new fall season. And we've got several things going on within the congregation, people struggling with illness and so on, and wanted to lift them up in prayer. And so I thought, let's begin with a bit of a prayer here. We've also got Reactivate happening. That's with our youth group. And so we've got youth leaders and Janessa and Jake Vissard heading out there as well. And so I wanted to lift up these people in prayer. John Engbers has been struggling with his health. Gail Childs is in somewhat serious condition with COVID pneumonia and struggling to get past that. Doctors are quite concerned. So we want to lift her up in prayer. And then, of course, want to continue to pray for Jackson Audette, born prematurely, and according to his parents, doing quite well. Ben and Sarah, they're here, in fact, today as well. And then we want to lift up Chao Leng Wee and his wife Carolyn. Chao Leng, his brother, just passed away, and then last week, a son-in-law had a serious accident, and there's going to be a long recovery. We're thankful that he is remains alive, and so we want to lift that up in prayer as well. Let's pray together. Father, we have sung that you are the God over everything, and we praise you for that. We take comfort in that. Our courage and our strength comes from you and from you alone. And so, God, as you rule over this world, we commit all of our cares to you. We pray, Father, for Gail Childs this morning. We pray that you will make your presence known to her today in a special way. Comfort her, encourage her, and we pray, God, for healing for her. Pray, God, that you will erase this pneumonia that's affecting her, and pray that you will sustain her and bring her to good recovery. Father, we pray that you will continue to be with John Engbers, that you will sustain him in health and strength, bless him and his wife, encourage them as well. God, we're thankful that Jackson continues to improve. Having been born prematurely, we pray that you will sustain him, that you will surround him with your love and your care through doctors and nurses, and I pray that you will give Ben and Sarah strength and blessing in this time as they go back and forth from the hospital. God, pray that you will watch over them. Father, we pray for comfort and strength for Chao Leng and Carolyn. We pray, God, that you will bless them in this time of just lots of disarray, grieving the loss of a brother and then worrying about a son-in-law involved in this accident. God, we're thankful that that he has survived, but we pray, God, that you will bless him with good recovery as well. Father, we look to you for all things. As we seek to love you and serve you in our life, God, we pray that you'll strengthen our faith. Pray that you will fill us with hope. And so we pray too, God, as many of the youth of the area churches, Christian Reformed churches, gather together in Langley this weekend. We pray, God, that you will bless them, that you will help them to grow in faith, and that you will make your presence known in the midst of them. God, as we hear your word, we pray that it will bless us and strengthen us so that we can go into this week with courage and boldness, with love and compassion, and with complete devotion to loving you, our Father, our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, famous author Salman Rushdie, in his one of his recent novels, Kichot, has written this. Maybe this is the way things are these days, that for some of us, the world stopped making sense. Anything can happen. Here can be there, then can be now, up can be down, truth can be lies, everything is slip-sliding around, and there's nothing to hold on to. The whole thing has come apart at the seams. Kind of a depressing thought. So welcome to September. Welcome to a new fall season. Welcome to a new season of ministry. It's exciting. It is. It's exciting to begin this new ministry season, particularly, I believe, after a couple of years of so much uncertainty and frustration and adjustments and adaptations, and finally we get to carry on with a lot of the expectations that we've become used to. On the other hand, there is a certain anxiousness that hangs in the air, much like the smoke that is all around us. An anxiousness about whether things are going to hold, or wondering when's the next disaster, or the next bad thing, or then even just the next disappointment. Wondering, after all that has happened, whether things really are just, well, falling apart. So we've titled this series, at the beginning of a new ministry season, a vision series, we've entitled it Undone. We'll follow the braid, becoming undone. And we're going to take a look at that word, undone, in several different ways. And the first way is to look at how things are changing. Certainly things are changing, and they always have, and they always will. And when those changes feel all wrong, well, quite frankly, then it gets kind of scary. How do we handle that? How do we confront that? How do we face that? How do we endure that? Here are just a few words from 2 Corinthians 13 that may well usually just pass us by, particularly if you're familiar with them. Many of you will be. From 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. And yet, these words are very real in our lives. Listen, this is the word of the Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. I want us this morning to concentrate on the word grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That word grace is a common Christian word. We use it all the time in context of church. In which case, we may well miss its impact. As was the case also in New Testament times, in the time of the Apostle Paul, When the word grace was used as a greeting word, much the same way as we would simply say, hey, how's it going? Or how are you? And then the common response is fine. And that exchange of words is simply used to grease the wheels of a trivial conversation. We don't mean much by it. It's just a way to introduce ourselves. And so it was with the word grace. Everybody just kind of approached each other. Grace be with you. Grace to you. Grace be with you. And then Paul takes that word and that greeting, and in your sermon discussion guide, I invite you to explore all of the letters of Paul and all the times in which he uses this word. He uses it over and over and over again, but he grounds it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, transforming a commonplace phrase into a new assurance that it's not just me extending grace to you, but it is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's grace that is being passed along as an assurance that God meets us even when everything might be all wrong. And certainly in Corinth, that church was a mess. Paul had to write a couple of letters, and you'll read in those letters all kinds of issues and problems. The church at Corinth was screwed up. And even then, when everything seemed wrong about that church, Paul extends the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. Grace. Grace is amazing. So says Lou Smeeds in his book, How Can It Be All Right When Everything Is All Wrong? I love what he says about the blessing of God's grace in our lives. Here it is. Grace is an amazing power to look earthly reality full in the face, to see its sad and tragic edges, feel its cruel cuts, join in the primeval chorus against its outrageous unfairness, and yet feel in your deepest being that it is good and right for you to be alive on God's good earth. It's grace, amazing grace, to be alive even when it's all wrong, even when you feel all wrong. And so he goes on, grace is power, I say, to see life very clearly, admit it is sometimes all wrong, and still know that somehow in the center of your life, it's all right. This is one reason we call it amazing grace, he says. Indeed, it is an amazing gift that God gives us, his grace, his presence, his acceptance of us, even when we make a mess of things, and God extends his grace to us. Some of you have lived that recently. When everything in your life is going wrong, and yet you're able to say, I think it's going to be okay. And you have that feeling in your deepest being that it is still good and right for you to be alive in this world in the midst of the mess or the tragedy or the sadness or the grief. To be able to say, I think it's going to be okay. Now, God's grace, then, in that situation is more than just mere optimism. Optimism can only expect things to get better. But grace, the grace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, is trust that God will meet you in the midst of all that is wrong or messed up in your life or in this world. God will meet you there, not just a matter of, God, make it better. But God, meet me there in the midst of it, because I need your strength. I need your your love. I need your presence. I need the peace of Christ in the midst of it. You see, grace doesn't make everything right, but it does convince you that it is right to be alive and to live even when things are coming undone. It feels like that a lot in our world these days. Now, it may seem odd to find joy and inspiration to live without the expectation that things are going to get better, but if that's all that we're seeking, that life would just get better for me, well, then we're trusting in our circumstances. We're trusting in our own resources to make things better, to fix things up. But to receive the gift of God's grace, amazing grace, is to trust wholly in God for joy. That's where that phrase comes from. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Why? Well, because God's grace is amazing in a powerful way to be able to transform all that is broken, all that is sick, all that is wrong in our world. At the beginning of this ministry year, then, what I want for us is to experience God in that way in this ministry year. I want us to be able to experience God's amazing grace. Rather than just hoping that things will be better for us this year, let's hope in God. Let's seek His presence so that it doesn't matter what happens in our lives or in this world, God is there. And He is our comfort and our strength. Let's hope that whether things are good or bad, that He'll meet us and we will see God, even in the midst of all that might be wrong. Amazing grace. The danger, of course, is that we may well assume that to experience then that amazing grace, we just got to keep a stiff upper lip, or we've just got to keep a smile on our face and just press through. But grace isn't just amazing. Grace is surprising. Grace doesn't work in the way of our usual expectations. Grace is surprising in the way that it operates in our lives. Take, for example, Nehemiah in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Nehemiah writes this account of his life in the time when the people of God, the Israelites, God's chosen and loved people who have disobeyed Him. God finally has said, look, I placed you into the promised land as a symbol of my presence always with you. But now has come a time when I'm going to dismiss you from that land, and I am going to let another superpower overtake you and take you captive and place you in their land. Translated as, I'm no longer going to be with you. The devastating time in Israel's history. And Nehemiah is part of that. He's one of the captives taken over to Babylon. And then Nehemiah is thinking about what it's like back home in his home country of Judah, in Israel. And so he inquires about it, and this is what the report that he receives back in Nehemiah chapter 1. He receives this. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. Things have fallen apart. They've come undone. And here's Nehemiah's response. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, that's at the beginning of Nehemiah's account, and then he goes on to give an account of how he led a contingent back into Israel to begin rebuilding the city of Jerusalem, that treasured city which symbolized God's presence. But what Nehemiah does, first of all, he doesn't just get in there and say, let's just fix everything up. He sits in his grief because everything has fallen apart. No optimism or stiff upper lip is going to change that. His grief is real, and he sits in it, and he appeals to God in the midst of it, taking that time to realize the loss and the failure to live in God's presence. Only after that, Nehemiah is strengthened then in God's grace. And he goes on to lead the rebuilding of the city, though not without its own trials and frustrations. In fact, in the book of Ezra, which follows up from Nehemiah, then the city is rebuilt and they have a dedication of the temple and everybody's excited and they come together. And then Ezra gives this account. He says, there was a great noise. And some were praising the Lord, and others were weeping and mourning because it wasn't the same. The glory wasn't the same as before. See, in our disappointment, in our discouragement, in our desperation, we most likely just want things to be better. But grace isn't like that. God's grace doesn't just make things better. Lou Smeads again says this, grace is not a ticket to fantasy land. Fantasy Island is dreamy fiction. Grace is not a potion to charm your life to your liking. Charms are magic, Lou Smeads says. And he warns against us just wanting things to be better. No, God's grace, when it comes upon us, isn't just a matter of making things present. It's a matter of God coming back into our lives, into our worlds, and assuring us simply with his presence to say, I am over everything. I have all the authority. I am sovereign. I am God. So grace is not magic. Grace is the surprising pardon that we receive when we don't live up to all that we're created for, and yet God comes to us. That's grace. Grace is the transforming power that equips us to seek God even when it's all wrong in and around us. And yet God comes to us and says, I am with you. Grace is the unexpected hope that we have to live with courage and to live, yes, even with joy when everything else is coming undone. Grabbing a hold of that grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, is about letting go of our expectations to make everything better for me, or to make me a better person, or to make our home a better home, or to make our job a better job, or to make our church a better church, or to make our country a better country, or to make our world a better world. Our vision has to be about trusting God and his endless love, even when we think the best of our life is ending or undone. Our vision For this ministry year has to be for pursuing fellowship with the Holy Spirit, even when all of our relationships are coming undone. Our vision has to be about extending the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to the person who believes that they're all wrong, all worthless, all undone. Our vision has to be to let God's grace transform us through the redemption that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Let's put our trust there. And then, like Paul, extending that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church in Corinth, let's bless each other, and let's bless people out there with that same kind of grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you when you're afraid for the future. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you when you're undone by changes in your life or in your world. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you when you don't agree with someone else's politics or ethics. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, the God who is over everything, in these next weeks, help us to seek your grace, your presence, above everything else that we desire or have ambition for. God, may we seek your presence. Be our strength. Be our hope. Be our peace. Be our joy, we pray. For you hold all things together. And so bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand. peace.